Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Psalm 139. Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. And there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. He knows everything about us. And he still loves us. Praise God forever. You have hedged me behind and before. He's a hedge behind us and in front of us. And you've laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? And where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me, or all around me. Some may say, he's got me surrounded. He is all around us. He has hedged us behind and before. He has enclosed us in. We are in him. He is with us. Such knowledge is so wonderful, so amazing to know that God is all around us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Right? So no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on, no matter how many people seem to be against us, God is for us. And that makes us a majority. And we win. I said we win. Because he is with us. Another scripture I think of all the time when I hear that song is 2 Kings chapter 6. When the prophet Elisha was in a certain city, the king of Syria wanted to capture him. And so he sent an entire army to go get him. They found out where he was, and they went to go get him. And so that morning, Elisha woke up. His servant got up, went outside, maybe to make some coffee or something. And the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15, and when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? We're surrounded. I mean, this entire army is surrounding them. So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And of course, he wasn't talking about in the natural. In the natural, it was just him and his servant. And here they look like they are, and they are, surrounded. They are surrounded by an enemy army that they're coming to get him. The king hates this prophet of God. And so he says, don't fear. There's more with us than there are with them. How many people think they might respond that way? If they're surrounded, if it seems like there's more against you than there are for you, when it seems like they're coming to get you, they're coming to take your rights away from you, they're coming to take your privileges away from you, they're coming to get you, they're trying to take your freedom from you, they're coming. Is your response just, hey, don't worry about it. There's more with us than there are with them. See, the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. And that's exactly what the prophet of God was doing. He was walking by faith. And the Bible says in verse 17, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. He doesn't have an ounce of faith. Open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. All around the man of God. Friend, that's what surrounds you and I. We are surrounded by God. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him. There are more with us than there are with the enemy and his bunch, his camp, his army. So when it looks like we're going under, it looks like we're losing, it looks like, you know, we're going to fail. Things are going the wrong direction. We're going to be defeated. The majority are against us. God says, don't fear. Don't fear, ye of little faith. Praise God. Rise up and believe and know that I'm all around you. I'm all around. I've hedged you in. I'm in the front of you and I'm in the back of you. And no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. See, people get into fear about things, but we need to recognize the more it looks like we're in trouble, the more it looks like we're surrounded and we're the ones that are losing, we're the ones that are going to be defeated, the kingdom of God is being overcome. That's the time to look and say, praise God, we got them right where we want them. We got them right where we want them. You know, there's some quotes from some military generals that said some things in the heat of battle. And one of them was, he said, all right, this is what he tells his men. All right, they're on our left, they're on our right, they're in front of us, they're behind us. They can't get away this time. They can't get away this time. Praise God. See, that's the attitude to have. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us and gave his life for us. We are more than conquerors. It can only turn out for our good and for his glory if we walk by faith and not by sight. But if we react to the flesh, if we react to the physical, if we react to what the devil is doing in the natural, then fear is going to kick in, anxiety is going to come, and on the foothills of anxiety is depression. For anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. People start getting depressed, they lose their strength, and they start giving up, they start quitting when they walk according to how things appear. But if we walk by faith, if we look beyond the natural and know that the greater one is with us and all he needs is a few folks that'll stand in faith for him to do mighty things. Another quote from a military officer was, they've got us surrounded again, the poor. And then he said some things I won't repeat. I'll use a synonym of the word, the poor scoundrels. I'll say that again. They've got us surrounded again, the poor scoundrels. Isn't that great? So I got to thinking about it, and I got my own little quotes. Figured I'd speak it to the military tonight, God's army. Praise God, it's finally dark enough for our light to be seen. See, a lot of folks get afraid of the darkness, but bless God, that's when our light can really shine. The wicked are springing up all around us. It's going to be a bumper crop harvest. Amen. The wicked are springing up all around us. Praise God, it's harvest time. Amen. It's going to be a bumper crop. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I remember one time I was praying, and it was actually a couple years ago. I was praying, and just up out of my spirit, I was actually looking aboard on a board of pictures of people in the congregation. And it just rose up in my spirit. I didn't think of it. It came up out of my mouth faster than I actually thought. It was very prophetic. And I said, we're in revival now. And I just stopped and thought about what I just said. I mean, it just came out of nowhere. I was praying. I think I was praying in tongues. And I just said, we're in revival now. Well, you see, that's what the Spirit of God sees. Didn't look like revival. Doesn't look like revival in the natural. But the Spirit of God on the inside. See, we got to be led by the Spirit of God. The Bible says these are the sons of God. Those who are led by the Spirit of God. We follow him. We don't walk by sight. We don't walk by our feelings. We don't walk by how things appear. What's the Spirit of God saying? He's saying it's revival time. It's harvest time. It's harvest time. Get yourself ready for it's not defeat time. It's not bunker down and hunker down and get down in a foxhole somewhere and hide. It's time to rise and shine. Time to rise and shine. Let your light come forth and know that you are surrounded by horses and chariots of fire. You've got an army of angelic hosts all around you. We got supernatural assistance. See, we got to just live, just like Elijah, live in that place of faith. Place of faith where we're not reacting to the flesh. This is no time to fear the people of the land and the decisions that they might make. Jesus said these words over in Matthew, the 15th chapter, and in verse 12. Then his disciples came to him and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? And Jesus said, oh no, did I offend them? I'll be more politically correct next time. No, in another place he said, blessed is he who is not offended because of me. He wasn't worried about offending people. He didn't deliberately try to offend people. But he didn't allow people's opinions of him and what he said stop him from speaking the truth. And we got to be a people that speak the truth, even if it means offending some people, causing some people not to like us. Yes, there are going to be some people that aren't going to like you. And if we want to serve God, we can't be in the making the people like me business. We can't care about that as much as caring about speaking the truth. Now, we want people to like us. I don't mean go around and kick people and just make people not like you. You know, that's not what I'm talking. We want people to like us, right? Because that helps us to be effective at helping them. But at the same time, we're going to speak the truth. We're not going to compromise the word. We're not going to compromise who we are in order to keep people liking us. Because this is silencing much of the church. Much of the church is going into silence and they're not speaking the truth of God's word. They're not speaking forth the righteousness of God. They're intimidated. They're afraid of offending people and causing people not to like them. And then they say, well, we want to win people for Jesus. Well, winning people might mean condemning some people. It might mean causing some people not to like you. That's what happens. It comes with the territory when you speak the truth. When you are the light of the world, when you're the salt of the earth. Not everybody wants you to show them up for how they live, how they really are. So we can't be afraid of offending people. We got to speak the truth. It's important to understand because a lot of people, they're not sharing the gospel. They're not speaking the truth to others simply because they don't want people to not like them. And that is robbing us of our effectiveness in the land. And that affects things around us. So he said, his disciples said, Lord, did you know the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. Great advice. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. Don't try to straighten it out. Don't try to fix it. And don't worry about them. He said, leave them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. So notice Jesus' advice when it comes to offended people. When it comes to people that are against Christ. What does he say? Leave them alone. In other words, doesn't sound like Jesus is worried about it to me. Does it sound like he's worried about it? Does it sound like he's worried about the Pharisees? I mean, these are the religious leaders. These guys influence a lot of people. I mean, you can't offend these guys. They'll start talking bad about you and turn everybody against you. We got to worry about this. No, he said, leave them alone. Leave them alone. And again, the Father's got this whole thing covered. See, Jesus had his eyes on the Father. Remember the time they came to throw him off the cliff that their city was built on? They came in there, they grabbed him. A whole mob of people, they surrounded him. And they took him and they were going to throw him off the cliff. This is a horrible situation. But the Bible says Jesus just turned around and walked through the midst of them, went on his way. I mean, here this angry mob had him. They were going to throw him off the cliff. They surrounded him. And he walked right through the midst of them. Suffered no harm. Praise God, the same God that was with Jesus is with us. The same Holy Spirit has hedged us in. The same Holy Spirit is all around us. We don't have to worry about anything. If God is for us. Is he for us? See, maybe that's the problem. We got to get ourselves built up in the Word of God to understand that God is most certainly for us. If we're for his Word, if we're for his ways, then he is for us. If we are on his side, taking sides with the Word of God, with his righteousness, doing what we know to do, then he is with us. He is for us. And therefore, we are surrounded by him. People are blind when God's word is not in their mind. But the Bible says in Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of thy word gives light and gives understanding to the simple. You don't have to be a theologian. You can just be a simpleton. And God's word will give you understanding. He will make you smart. He will make you shine with wisdom. He'll give you understanding. Thank God for the light of the word of God. But you see, people are blind when they don't have God's word in their mind. But you and I are here tonight because we want God's word on our mind, in our mind. We want to renew our mind with his word. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20 says, to the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Now, there's no maybe about that. If people aren't making their decisions based on the word of God, if the word of God is not in their thoughts, the word of God is not in what they're doing, what they're believing, what they're embracing. It means they have no light in them. They can't see, which means what? They are blind. They are walking in the darkness. And those that walk in the darkness, he says, are going to end up in a ditch. But now the thing to realize is that when people have no regard for God's word. And God's word is referred to in one place as the word of righteousness. And when people have no regard for righteousness, no regard for righteousness, whose fault really is that? I believe it's the church's fault. I believe it's the church's fault. I believe the church is to blame for that. When people don't care about righteousness. The Bible says over in Isaiah 56, verse 10. It says, his watchmen are blind, they are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. That's not very nice. I mean, you shouldn't say things like that. I'm just reading the Bible, don't look at me. You know, if I'd step in and said, these people, They're blind. They're ignorant. They're a bunch of dumb dogs. What kind of pastor talks like that? Isaiah, Pastor Isaiah. Pastor Isaiah, I'm just following what he said, which is what the Lord gave him. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yes, they're greedy dogs, which never have enough. And they are shepherds who cannot understand. They all look to their own way. Everyone for his own gain from his own ministry, his own territory. See, you know, we know that pastors and shepherds, those words are used interchangeably in the Word of God. And watchmen are, again, those that are to be praying and watching over God's sheep, God's people. So it's leaders in the church, leaders in the body of Christ. And here he says, they're blind. They're blind. They're blind leaders. They're dumb dogs. He says, they're shepherds who cannot understand. They cannot understand. Why? They all look to their own, they look to their own way. They don't look to God's way. The Word of God is not the final authority in their life. Their opinion is the final authority in their life. How they feel about it is the final authority in their life. And as a result of that, they're blind. And so if they're blind, who do you think's following them? The blind. I just wrote a book called The Spirit-Led Church. And one of the things it deals with is how instead of the church changing the culture is changing the church. We're seeing that the church has become very ineffective at affecting the people of our society. God's righteousness should be being exalted. There should be a fear of God in the land. The church is responsible for that. I believe God holds the church responsible for what goes on in our city, in our nation. He's looking to us. We're the salt of the earth. But a lot of people have exchanged the salt for sugar. And they want to be sweeties. They don't want to have that bitter edge and be salty. And so we have a lot of sugar and no salt. And they've exchanged darkness for light. And he talks about that in Isaiah as well. Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah 5 and in verse 20. He says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. And there's a lot of that. I mean, there are so many things in our society today that the Bible says is evil. That people are calling good. Good. There's nothing wrong with it. He says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light. They've replaced the light with the darkness. And light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet, sugar, for bitter in place of the salt. See, it's right there in the Word. He says, this is a problem. This is a problem in the nation of Israel in the days of Isaiah. And it's still a problem today. Wherever you see a decline of morals and a diminishing of righteousness, it's because of this right here. It's because people have exchanged darkness for light, sugar for being the salt of the earth. So we need to be a word of righteousness, word of faith, church. Can you say amen? And that's all that God needs. He just needs some folks to stay with it. Stay with what he says. Speak the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. When everything we do in life, we come back to what does the Word say? What is the Spirit of God leading us to do? We're not going to settle for the opinions of men. We're not going to go with what seems popular. Go with the trends of the times. We're going to stick with the word. And if we will, then praise God, we're in the majority and God can transform our generation. He can transform our generation. He just needs a few good, humble, believing believers. That's what he needs. He doesn't need a whole lot of folks. We saw that in the book of Acts, didn't we? I mean, there was 120 in an upper room. And next thing you know, it went to 3,000. Next thing, 5,000 more. Then it just kept going. And then the people, the Pharisees were crying out, these are those that have turned the world upside down. And the work that they were doing still lives on today. Still those fires have not been fully put out. God don't need a whole lot of folks. I mean, you think about it, he had a lot of disciples, but really when you broke it down, he had 11. He had 11 that were with him in the end. And that's all he needed, hanging around with him, was 11. Yeah, there were crowds that followed him, but he only allowed 11 to be around him because he only needed a few. He didn't walk around with multitudes of people. Multitudes of people he interacted with and he healed and he preached to him and things like that. But he mentored 11 people. This is Jesus who's going to change the world. And he's mentoring 11 people. And they weren't the brightest. Were they? They were not the brightest, but they were the most committed. They were the most believing. They trusted it, and they had their faith issues as well. They had doubt and unbelief issues quite a bit. He had to rebuke them. He had to correct them. But bless God, they had the right heart. They had the right spirit. And then when the day came after Jesus rose from the dead and their persecutors had seemed to surround them, they just stood up for the word of God and never backed down. Peter, who denied the Lord 3 times. You'd think it's over for him. There he is standing there all alone. Surrounded by Pharisees and leaders that had the power with their guards all around with weapons. They had the power to throw him in prison, beat him and kill him. And he said, I can't but help preach the things that I've seen and heard. And he just went right on preaching the gospel. I mean fearless, didn't back down. Why? He knew he was surrounded. He knew he was surrounded by the Lord. He knew that the Lord was for him. He knew the Lord was with him. So even though he went through some hard times, praise God, he went through it rejoicing, celebrating his God. He didn't go through it worried, depressed, walking around, woe is me. Look what's going on in my life. Look what's happening all around. What's happening to us? As a society in Israel, he didn't fall apart and get depressed. No, bless God, he got to shouting. And when he was what seemed like on death row, and he was actually on death row, there he is chained up in prison, told that he's going to be executed. What's he doing? He's sleeping. He's just sleeping in prison, just resting. An angel had to come and wake him up. I mean, that's faith, friends. I got news for you. Both people say, I can't sleep. People, a lot of times people, they just have a little issue, you know. It's like, I couldn't sleep. They just toss and turn all night. The sheets are sweaty. Right? They get up and they pace the floor. They walk around. Trying to sleep. Worried, nervous. This man's about to be executed. But he's not worried about it. Well, he knows God's got him covered. Well, what was the result then? An angel came in there, hit him in the side, said, get up. Chains fell off. And the angel, prison doors opened up. Angel just walked him right out. Just walked him right out of there. Would he do that for us today? God is for us. Just like that time, you know, I felt like I was surrounded. I felt like I was under an attack. And night after night, I woke up and I could feel the presence of evil. Satan himself was standing at the foot of my bed. I couldn't see him, but I know he was there. And I was lying there and I said, you know, I just want to go to sleep. I'm so tired, But I know I got a devil. He's psychotic. He's standing at the foot of my bed. Would you go to sleep with a psychotic devil at the foot of your bed? So I had to get up. Got up, started praying. But I had no utterance. It was just the hardest thing in the world to pray. It's like I had just sand in my mouth. I said, Lord, you got to help me here. I just ended up just sitting there until I was exhausted. Then I finally fell asleep at whatever it was, 3, 4 in the morning. And only because I was just so exhausted, the devil himself couldn't wake me up. And then the next night, the same thing happened. There's the devil. Kept waking me up. I kept getting up out of the bed. Had to fight the devil. Take authority over him. But he kept coming back. Finally, one night, I just said, Lord, I can't. Lord, I need help here. I said, well, I'm under an attack. I said, the whole church is under an attack. I can feel it. Devil's got us surrounded, you know. We're under an attack. And immediately these words came up on the inside of me. Under my feet. Under my feet. I stood up. I said, wait a second. It feels like I'm under an attack. I've heard it taught that you can be under an attack. But the Bible says that devil is under my feet. I said, devil, you're under my feet. I'm going to bed. Because I realized at that moment, if he's under my feet, I can't be under his attack. I'm not going to go by how I feel. I'm going to go by what he said. Man, I slept like a baby. Faith just caused me to sleep like a baby. The devil couldn't wake me up after that. My faith just knocked me out. Let me sleep like a baby. Can you say amen? Thank God for the truth. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the church rising up in the faith of God. The Bible says over in Romans chapter 9, verse 29. And as Isaiah said before, this is Paul writing the book of Romans by the Holy Spirit, referring to Isaiah. Unless the Lord of Sabbath had left us a seed, we would have become like Sodom and we would have been made like Gomorrah. In other words, unless God left a remnant of believers, true believers, those that build their life on the word of God, that exalt the word of righteousness, that trust him, have faith in him. See, unless the Lord had left us a seed, we would, as a nation, we would have become like Sodom and Gomorrah. Bless God, this nation can't become like Sodom and Gomorrah because we're here. I said, now after we leave, I don't know. I'm teaching my kids and we're going to pass it on to the next generation. But bless God, while we're here, this nation ain't going to become Sodom and Gomorrah. God's got a seed, and it's planted in the soil of believing. Hallelujah. And it's going to protect this nation. It's going to protect this land and keep this one nation under God. And the devil can't have it. He can't have me. He can't have you. He can't have our land. Do you have that attitude? Yeah, because there's more with us. Then they're all with them. I said, we're surrounded. We're surrounded with him. Over in Judges chapter 7, a man by the name of Gideon was called of God to deliver Israel out of the hands of these oppressing nations, the Midianites, the Amalekites. And these were very, very hostile people, very oppressive. And because of what they have been doing, ruling over Israel, the land of Israel is completely impoverished. And the people were just living in constant fear and lack all the time. And so one day an angel came and manifested to Gideon and called him a mighty man of valor. He said, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. And over in Judges chapter 6, in the 13th verse, Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? Have you ever felt like that? Lord, where are you? Lord, why did you let this happen? Why are you letting this go on? Why are you letting these Midianites do these things to us? Why has all these things happened to us? Have you ever had that question? You're about to get the answer. And where are all his miracles? This is Gideon talking. Which our fathers told us about, and we keep hearing about on Sunday morning. Saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? So he said to him, oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you. And you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Hallelujah. See, he's saying, Lord, where are the miracles? Where is all the stuff we're hearing about in the Word of God? Where's your power? How is all this happening? And God says, I like you. You're looking for the miracles? You're looking for the miraculous? Go. Go. Have I not sent you? And then it's, oh, Lord, Lord, you know, I can't do this. I can't do it. See, God's just looking for somebody. You want to see miracles? You want to see my power? You want to see a nation be transformed and delivered from oppression? Is that what you want to see? Then go. Lord, now you know I'm very busy, and I don't have enough money to go. I mean, I'm working two jobs right now. And I got a family I gotta watch out for. God, I mean, I got a lot going on. Who am I? See? God's just looking for someone that would dare to believe him enough to go. To go and do what he says. Go. Open your mouth. Speak the word of God. Do what he tells you. Be looking for him to tell you to do things. A lot of folks, God don't tell me anything. Are you looking? A lot of folks aren't even looking for God to tell them anything. But we got to be looking. If we're looking, if we're seeking, then we'll find. Then we'll find. We'll find what he's got for us. And he'll lead us. He'll lead us into opportunities to do some things that'll change some things. See, we got to be open and ready to follow and flow with the Holy Spirit. But he says, I just need you, Gideon. I just need you. Now you go over to chapter 7 of Judges. And you look at verse 12. And it says, now the Midianites and the Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts. And their camels were without number as the sand by the seashore in multitude. I mean, we're talking about an army that you can't even count. There are so many army tanks. This is all military that has moved in. And so here, God has called Gideon and said, you're going to defeat all of them like you're defeating one man. Because I'll be with you. Somebody say, if God be for me. Who? How many? Can be against me. See, they can't. They'll not be able to stand before you all the days of your life, the Bible says. They won't be able to stand against you all the days of your life. Doesn't matter how many. If God said, he said, I'll be with you. How can I do? I'll be with you. I can't do it. I know, but I'll be with you. I'll be with you. Somebody say, God is with me. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. You are with me. It's going to be all right. I can lie down and sleep at night. I can get up in the morning without any anxiety or fear about what's going on in the world because God is with me. And if he's with me, we're in a majority to change this world. And that's what we're going to do. We're not just going to be here to take up space. I said, we're not here to just take up space. We're here to change the world. Over in Judges chapter 7, in verse 4, it says, but the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. So the Spirit of God comes upon Gideon, and he blows the trumpet, and all the Israelites from all different places, they gather together to him. And there's a lot of them. And so, you know, God tells Gideon, he says, now, you know, tell everyone here that is they're fearful, they really don't want to do this, they really don't want to go into this battle, just tell them just to go home. And I don't know how many thousands, left. They just left him, leaving him with 10,000 people. So 10,000 people are left. And we just saw how many are with the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the people of the east. You can't even number them. They're like locusts. They got the place surrounded. Gideon's down to 10,000 people. And so the Lord says to Gideon, the people are still too many. It sounds like one of these military general quotes. We have too many people. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink, and the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his place. See, now this is written for us. God did this not just for them to gain glory for himself in that day, but he's recorded it in the word to teach us about him. God don't need a whole lot. God is God. He just needs you. Will you be the one? Will you be the one to go? Will you go? Will you respond to him? Or will you cower down in fear and worry and react to what's going on around you in life and react to the trials and tests that you face in life according to the flesh? Or will you rise up and believe his word and know that you are surrounded by him, and if God is for you, you got more than enough. You're more than able. I can do a few things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do. Huh? What? I can do all things. Do we believe this? I mean, we like, you know, it's fun in church. I can do all things. Ah! And that was a powerful message, Pastor. I can do all things. I like the way you say that. It's exciting. Then we go home and go, I don't know how in the world I'm going to deal with this mess. I can't take it anymore. They keep leaving the toothpaste cap off the toothpaste. It is just driving me crazy. I can't do it. I just can't do it. But I can do all things. You know, it's become like entertainment. It's a show. For a lot of folks, it's just a show. Let's believe this thing. Somebody say, I can. Do all things. I can. Not someday, but right now. I can do all things through Christ, who's with me right now and strengthens me. Hallelujah. Praise God forever if we just get a hold of it. God is with us. And God was helping Gideon along, you know, through this process. You can read the whole story. But notice here about these folks lapping. God said in verse 5. And the Bible says in verse 5. Well, he said in verse 5, bring them down to the water. Now, how many people know the word of God is likened to water? The Bible talks about the washing of the water of the word. That we wash ourselves with the water of the word. So the word is likened to water. And he says, I'll bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Verse 5, so he brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue. Where does the word of God need to be? Needs to be on our tongue. In other words, we need to be talking the word. We need to be talking the word. See, if we don't speak according to this word, it's because there's no light in us. Isn't that what he said, Isaiah? There's no light in you. If you don't speak according to this word, there's no light. You're not walking in the light. So we need to be speaking according to the word of God. And so he says, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. So then verse 6 says, and the number of those who lapped, putting their hands to their mouth, was 300 men, and all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Now, usually when you drink water, you don't lap like a dog. I mean, I really don't even use my tongue when I drink water, do you? I mean, I just, it kind of goes over the tongue. I don't, you know what I'm saying? I don't try to get the water like a dog does with my tongue. But these guys did. They just reached down, got some water. Got it. God said, these are the guys. The other ones, they just fell on their knees. Almost like they're worshiping the water. I mean, I'm so thirsty. And I don't know, we're about to go and do a battle. And I don't know if I'm going to have any water out there in the battle. I got to get all I can get. I got to gobble up as much as I can. So they just got down there like a bunch of horses, you know. And they just began to drink down there and just gobble up as much as they could. The others weren't concerned about it. They just took a little handful of water, just take enough that they need. Let's go. Sounds like faith. But the bunch that are gobbling it up, they sound like they're in fear. So God sends them away. God sends them the way. And he takes those that have the word on their tongue. That use know how to use their tongue. You know, you got to know how to use your tongue. I can do another whole message right now, which I won't. But I did it a while back. It was called Words or Weapons. And it talks about the tongue. How many of you know the Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue? Life and death is in the power of the tongue. So we're gonna experience according to how we speak. That's what we're going to experience in life. So if we're talking life, if we're talking the word, that's what we're going to have. And of course, it's easy to talk the word here and now, but as soon as stuff goes wrong and things seem to be contrary to the word and to God's will for your life and you're going through a trial and test, that's the time when you need to be speaking the word. And not speaking it in fear, but speaking it in peace. Knowing, bless God, the word of God is true. And I have exactly what I say. Jesus said, you'll have whatever you say. So we'll have whatever we say. So these are, we could say, word talkers who didn't love their life so much as have to get down on their knees and worship the water and gobble it all up. So what's the point of the story? And we won't go through the whole thing, but you know, as you read this, if you haven't read it, I encourage you to read it. It's great. It's better than any movie you'd rent. It's actually a true story. And you'll see that with the 300, God saved an entire nation. He saved an entire nation, brought revival and renewal to all the people. Well, if God could do that then God can do that now. Can you say amen? Are we lappers? Are we believers? Are we those that are standing on the word of God? That doesn't matter if the enemy is like locusts all around us. It doesn't matter what the populace is saying. What does the word say? And who is with us? God's bigger than them all. I got news for you. God's bigger than you. He's bigger than the people around you. He's bigger than everybody all put together. And that's who lives in us. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Somebody say, God and I make a majority, and we win. all the time. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. Now, see, we're going to do something about the times that we're living. While we're here, we're going to do something. We're going to do something about our society. We're going to do something about our generation. We're going to bring transformation to our generation. We're going to lift up the word of righteousness. And we're going to see his miracles, signs, and wonders. And our God is an irresistible God. And if he is manifested and seen as he really is and not how religion paints him, then bless God, people are going to come running to him. And we're going to see a great harvest of Midianites and Amalekites come into the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Stand on your feet. Let's thank the Lord tonight. Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.